might live in hog country, but I'm a tiger from the bayou. Okay. You might take tiger out of bayou, but you'll never take tiger out of tiger. It's good to be here, and I want to just say how much I've enjoyed the fellowship and the kind words, and apologize to Brother Todd and Sister Rosalinda for keeping them up last night. I fellowshiped them till about midnight last night. I know I kept that young couple up a little too late, but this old man was about dead when we left here, and but I enjoy the fellowship. I love fellowshipping God's people, and it's so good to see a lot of friends last night that I haven't seen in a while. It's been about 2 years since we was here last, and it's good to be back, and hopefully I can be a blessing to you. It's good to see what the Lord is doing here. It's good to be here in the midst of it, and let me just tell you how I enjoyed the singing and everything last night, but I got a special gift last night that I'm really proud of. This here is a portrait of me while I was preaching last night that one of the young people drew of me. And I really appreciate that. Sister Kaylee did a wonderful job. I see the resemblance. I don't know about y'all. But, you know, it's not too hard to draw a fat, bald man's head. But it's good to be here. If you will, turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We'll continue looking here at this chapter this evening. We will be looking at probably the shortest passage. Well, it is the shortest passage that we will be looking at as we continue our look here at this parable that Jesus is speaking to the multitude that has come to hear him speak. And we'll look tonight at verses 8 through 10. Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. Luke chapter 15, we'll begin reading in verse number 8. The Bible says, "Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come bowing before you once again, Lord, so thankful for this opportunity and privilege to preach your word. And Father, I do just think it's an honor that you would see fit to call this undeserving sinner, saved by your grace, to preach your word. Father, I pray that you would use me tonight to be a blessing to your people. Father, I do lift up those that were mentioned earlier that are in need of your healing hand and your healing touch. Father, I especially pray for the one who's lost the loved ones, that family, Lord. Ask you would wrap your arms about them and comfort them. Father, I pray that they will look to you and lean on you to get them through the difficult days that lie ahead. And Father, I thank you for these who've come back tonight. And Father, I pray that you might speak to our hearts once again. Father, I pray that you would help me tonight as I stand before your people to preach your word with power. And Father, that you give me the liberty to preach. And Father, I pray that you would use me tonight and just bless this preaching your word. And Father, we will be careful to give you the glory and honor. For you are the only... You're so deserving and the only one worthy of praise because it's your word. And Father, you give me the strength and the words to say. Now, Father, and just help me as I try to bless these people with your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is, an illustration that I don't really identify with. I told you last night that Jesus is speaking to a mixed multitude of people. We see in verse one, that all publicans and sinners had come to hear Jesus. We find in verse 2 that the Pharisees and the scribes were complaining that Jesus receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And then in response to their complaint, Jesus tells this parable. He begins to give these illustrations to reach those in that crowd of people that are gathered to hear him speak. And these illustrations, I believe, are a picture of the lost sheep, the man who lost one of his 100 sheep. And I said that's an illustration of one of God's elect lost in the world. Then here in this passage that we're going to look at tonight, we have an illustration of a woman who had 10 coins but lost one in the house. And this is a great illustration of one of God's elect lost in the house of God. You see, there's a person can be religious and yet lost. You can be a church member. You can sing in the choir. You can be as faithful to the house of God, but if you're not saved by the grace of God, you're lost in the house of God, just like his coin in this woman's house. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in a broken home. My mom and dad divorced when I was 4 years old. I was raised by my stepdad, who was just as big of a drunkard as my first dad had been. In fact, when I was in third grade, I had a little girl on the school bus ask me, said, "Lonnie, are you a Christian?" And I thought about that question, and I didn't know how to answer. I didn't know what a Christian was. I said, "I don't know. I have to go home and ask my mom and dad." And she looked at me, and I'll never forget what she told me. She said, "If you don't know, you're not." And so 3 years later, I ended up going to a vacation Bible school at this same church that little girl attended that had asked me if I was a Christian. And there at that vacation Bible school, the Lord saved me by his grace. Amen. And it dawned on me here a few years back that after that girl found out I was lost, she prayed for me. And the Lord answered her prayer, and I'm so thankful that somebody cared enough to pray for me. As we look at this illustration, though, we see this woman, she has 10 coins and she loses one and she just goes looking all over for it. She does not stop until she finds it. And this is something that many of us here do not really fully understand. Why does this woman, this coin mean so much to this woman? What is it about this coin? How many of us have seen a penny laying on the ground and we just walk right by it and say, "Stopping and picking it up." It meant nothing to us. I know a man that every time he passed a penny, he'll stop and pick it up and say, "999,999 more and I'll be a millionaire." And every time, if he picked up another one, he'll say, "999,998 more, I'll be a millionaire." We think nothing of a penny, do we? Here in this illustration, Jesus speaks of a woman who lost one coin. It's just one. But instead of shrugging her shoulders and walking away, she went to great lengths to find that one lost coin. She wanted to restore it to its proper place. As I said, Jesus' point in this parable is to teach these religious Jews and religious leaders, the Pharisees and scribes, the value of one lost sinner that repenteth. You see, the Pharisees and scribes thought that they were more valuable to the Lord than the publicans and the sinners. They thought that they were self-righteous, and they thought that they was, and because of them being religious leaders, they had a pathway open to be with the Lord. And Jesus is giving these illustrations to show them that they were just as lost as to publicans and sinners. In fact, this illustration here is speaking to those religious Jews and those religious leaders, letting them know that they were just as lost as to publicans and sinners. They might go to the house of God, they might meet in the synagogue, and they might have the law, but they were just as lost as those who didn't. Talked about the man with the penny, and we all laughed, but you know, if you would take time to pick up each penny that you found, you'll have a dollar pretty quick. Because people think nothing of a penny no more. What's a penny? It's not. You can't buy anything for a penny nowadays. Can't buy much with a dollar. But here with woman. This coin meant something to her. And Jesus is telling us about her to teach us that there's joy in heaven over just one sinner that repenteth. So tonight I want to look at this illustration, and I hope to show you why this woman attached such value to this coin. It's an illustration here that we can't identify with. But every person who heard Jesus tell this illustration knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. They knew why this woman attached so much value to that one coin that was lost. Everyone understood what Jesus was saying. So follow along with me while I continue preaching this series that I've titled The Value of One. And let's look tonight at the lost coin. First, I want you to realize that this coin was invaluable. Why was it invaluable? Well, in their day, in that time, the women of Judea who were married would wear a headband around their heads with coins that were sewed together in that headband. Them coins were given to them by their father when they was married. That headband meant just as much to them as our wedding rings mean to us. It showed everybody that they was married. In fact, it served several functions in the life of a married woman at that time. It declared that she was married. And it also declared to her husband her independence. Them coins were a constant reminder to her husband that if he were to divorce her, she could live without him. The men were the sole providers. But those coins were for that woman if the man was to divorce her, to help take care of her. Each coin was equivalent of a day's wage. Evidently, this woman and her husband were very poor because she only had 10. And I looked at this again today to remind myself about this tradition back then of the women of Judea. And they said that the women usually had a headband of at least 10 coins. Some had more than 10. But the poor probably only had 10 coins. But if this woman was to be unfaithful to her husband, he would usually take one of them. This told everyone that she was an adulteress. Now you see why this one coin was so valuable. This woman had this headband, and as long as that one coin was missing, it brought shame and humiliation upon her. This headband was given to her, these coins, to bring glory to the bride. But as long as that coin was missing, her beauty was marred. That headband was incomplete. So we see why this woman went through such great lengths to find this coin. It was precious to her. It was invaluable. But that coin had absolutely no value whatsoever as long as it was lost. It was good for nothing. A coin that is lost has no worth because you can't spend it. You can't spend what you have lost. Remember, the object of this parable was to teach this mixed multitude of people the value of one sinner that repenteth. Each and every person is like that lost coin. We weren't created to live a life of sin. We were created to give God glory. God made us for one purpose, and that was to give Him glory. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7 says, "Even everyone it is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." When God made man of the dust of the ground, he made him in his own image. He made him for fellowship so that he could walk with him in the cool of the Garden of Eden. But when Adam sinned, he became a lost soul, and his sin separated him from the presence of God. Because of Adam's sin now, every person born into this world is born a sinner. We're doomed to die and deserving of hell, where we'll be eternally separated from our God. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore it's by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Those who are lost in the world are just as lost as those who are lost in the house of God. And those lost in the house of God is just as lost as those lost in the world. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And just like that man with that lost sheep last night, and that this woman here with this coin, he will not quit until he has saved every one of his elect. He won't quit calling sinners until every coin or jewel has been found. When Jesus finds a lost coin, it's restored to its proper place by the power of God so that that coin can do what it was designed to be and do. Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I read last night from John chapter 6, verse 37, where Jesus says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. Every person that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for and shed his blood for on the cross of Calvary will be saved. And here with this woman in our text, her life would not be complete until she had found that one coin that she had lost. So I've already said, all that come unto Jesus will serve as the jewels of the Lord. We'll bring glory to his name like these coins brought to this woman. See, like this coin, we were given to Lord Jesus by his Father. This coin was given to this woman by her Father. It was invaluable to her. And she lost this one coin, and she wasn't going to be satisfied until she found it. The search was an intense one. When she realized that a coin had been lost, she began to do whatever it took to find that one lost coin. To her, it was very valuable. So she lit a candle, and she began to sweep and diligently search her house until she found it. She had a will to find it. She worked to find it. And in the end, she won because she did find it. Another way we see that coin being like lost sinners is that lost coin was lost in the darkness. Houses in those days had no windows. There was no light. That's why she had to light a candle. It was lost in the dirt. Houses in those days didn't have carpet or tile or wood like we do today. They were wood. They was made of dirt. They was literally on the ground. It was lost in disuse. A coin that's lost can't be used. I mentioned that earlier. And it was lost in the dwelling. It was lost in the house. What a wonderful illustration I believe this is of the lost sinner in the house of God. You come to the Lord's house, you hear the word preached, you know the word of God. And until the Lord saves you, you will remain lost. Lost sinners are lost in darkness. They might be smart and intelligent, but spiritually they're blind. They're lost in the black darkness of spiritual ignorance. They don't even realize that they lost. Well, I come to church, I must be okay. They don't know what they need until they're sought after by the Lord. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're walking in darkness. You're blind and living a life of darkness. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It's sad that lost sinners don't even realize that they're lost. They have no knowledge. Lost sinners are in the dirt. When a coin is minted, it is imprinted with an image. Usually that image is of a ruler. But when that coin is lost in dirt, that image is marred. You can't see it. It's soiled. It's dirty. It's hidden. And so it is with the lost sinner. We were created and made in the image of God. But that image has been soiled. As long as we remain lost in our sins, we will never be able to be like our Father. We need to be cleansed so that the image of the Lord might be restored. If you don't think that lost sinners are dirty, just look around at our world today. Look at what's going on in this world. A lost sinner needs someone to reach into the dirt of their life, lift them up, and clean them up. They can't save themselves. They need someone to intervene like God, who can clean them up and restore them in His image. Lost sinners are in disuse. As long as that coin is lost, it can never be used. It's worthless, of no value. And so too is the lost sinner. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Let's look at verses 10 through 12. I mentioned these verses last night. In fact, I realized that I got them mixed up when I was quoting them, but let's look at them tonight. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. The Bible tells us, as it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." I wish I had a penny for every time I heard somebody say, "That's a good person." Oh, that's a pretty good old person. Well, the Bible says there's none good. No, not one. There's none righteous. There's none that seeketh after God. Aren't you thankful that God came seeking for you? Amen. The only way we could be saved is if He came looking for us. Lost sinners are everywhere, even in the house of God. There are many people who grow up in church believing, I'm in church and I'm okay. My mother and father are saved, and so I'm okay. You're not going to get to heaven on your mother and father's coattails. You must recognize that you're a sinner. You must acknowledge that you sinned against God, confessed your sins, and repent of them. You're going to be saved. I have found lost coins everywhere. I've seen them in my car, on the street, in the yard, and I've even found them in the house. Same is true with lost sinners. They can be found everywhere, even in the house of God. This woman found out that her coin was missing, and she went to looking for it. She was willing to do whatever it took to find this one lost coin. She lit a candle, swept the floor, and kept looking and looking and looking and looking until she found it. And she did not stop until it was found. This woman is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is who moves through the house of God. He moves throughout the house of God seeking to find the lost sinner at lost fuel so he can restore it to its proper place in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will do whatever it takes and won't quit until that lost sinner has been found and restored. Some of you may be here tonight wondering why that woman was so concerned and troubled over this one lost coin that just represented a day's wages. What's a day's wages? Most of us here waste a day's wages every day, or anytime we go on vacation or do anything, we splurge. A day's pay is nothing to us, but to her it meant everything. When it comes to people who live in this world today, they place little value on the individual. Just look around. How little value we have for individuals. We have people in this country who think nothing of a woman killing a baby that's in her womb. I think nothing of it because that little baby's life isn't as valuable to them as that woman whose womb that baby's in. Look at those child abusers. You hear about them every day. Do you think they're concerned about the value of that one they're abusing? Think about this. You know how our government knows us? By our Social Security number. We have a number, and that's all we are to this government, is that number. But in God's eyes, His children have great value. I'm sure glad that God saw great value in this old country boy from Louisiana. And He didn't give up until He restored me to my proper place. Let me just tell you tonight, if the Lord is dealing with your heart, He's not going to quit until you repent of your sins and come by His saving grace to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God sees value in your life. And eventually, every one of His jewels will be restored to its proper place. We find the success was indescribable. This woman put great effort into finding this one lost coin. She realized that coin was missing, and she began to look for it until she retrieved it and restored it to its proper place. That coin can never lift itself out of darkness, the dirt, and the disuse, and neither can the lost sinner deliver their self from the bondage of their sins. It's only by the grace of God. The Lord retrieves us from our darkness and removes us from the dirt of our sins and redeems us from our disuse. Turn, if you will, to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at verses 4 through 10. I love verse 4 of this chapter. but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You will never be good enough in your own power to get to heaven. You'll never be able to do enough work to earn your salvation. We are saved by the grace of God, and that alone. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's not the works that we have done, but the work that He has already done. When this woman found that lost coin, she did just like that man did with the lost sheep last night. She called all her friends and neighbors together and said, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost." Can you imagine the joy that filled her heart when she found that lost coin? All that humiliation and shame that she felt, knowing that coin was missing, was gone the minute she found it. All she could do was rejoice. You know that heaven rejoices the same way when a lost sinner is found. Why they rejoice? Because something of value has been restored to its proper place, and God is glorified. That sinner that was unable to be used is now available for the Master's use now that He has saved it. That jewel which was dirty and ugly because of sin has been made clean and beautiful by the grace of God. Yes, it's a glorious day when a sinner is saved by grace. There's another thing I can add to this message before I end. It's this. God is interested in those whom everyone else considers worthless. The scribes and the Pharisees could care less about those publicans and sinners. Those publicans could care less about anyone else. All they cared about was themselves. Same way with sinners. Sinners could care less about anyone other than themselves. They don't even care about God. But aren't you glad that when you didn't care about God, He cared about you? He doesn't care what you think. He doesn't care what anyone else thinks about your worth, because He thinks you're valuable. He sees you worthy of His Son. If you like that lost coin here in this illustration, lost in darkness, dirt and disuse, I invite you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. It's very possible there could be someone here tonight in the house of God just as lost as this coin was in this woman's dwelling. Perhaps your church member has never been saved by the grace of God. Oh, you've made a profession of faith in Christ, but you don't have that possession of the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart. You still struggle with whether you're saved or not. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If you're truly saved by the grace of God, that Holy Spirit is dwelling in your heart, and it bears witness that you're a child of God. And if you're truly a child of God, you ought to be producing the fruits of the Spirit. If you're trusting in anything or anyone else other than Lord Jesus Christ tonight and His redemptive work, then you need to come to Jesus. He's still seeking and saving that which was lost. And in the eyes of God, you're valuable. That's the value of one. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Brothers, you'll come.